Father, I thank you that the entrance of your word we know brings light and gives understanding to the simple. As we examine this sure word this morning, let it bring understanding to us. Let it cause the light to shine in our hearts and upon our ways. In the name of Jesus, the path of the righteous is as the shining light. I shine it more and more unto the perfect day. So let it be. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Welcome, everybody. I'm going to be reading from Isaiah chapter 54. And I am going to be talking about verse 10, especially. Isaiah 54 and verse 10 says, "For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that had mercy upon thee." So we're going to be talking about God's kindness and his covenant of peace. And that he promised, he said, well, mountains shall depart. I mean, can you imagine the forces that can cause mountains to be uprooted and depart? Even the hills may be removed. Cataclysmic upheavals may take place. But the steadfast love and mercy of the Lord, he said, my kindness, hallelujah, will not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. So we see that the Lord actually makes a covenant of peace with us. And, you know, Lord having foreknowledge of all things, you know, doesn't enter into any covenant, you know, just randomly or haphazardly or lightly. You know, he knows what's ahead and he knows that he can sustain that covenant. And so when he enters into it, it's assured that he will keep it. And he has put upon us a covenant of peace, he said. And Jesus himself declared it many times, you know, to his disciples. He would say to them, for instance, in John chapter 14, he would say things like, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And he would say things like, well, "My peace I leave with you, not as the world leaveth or giveth, but I give you my peace." John 14 and 27. And Jesus also would say things like, "I will not leave you comfortless. You know, I will come unto you." In the same chapter, John 14 and verse 18. You know, so many promises of the Lord being with us. Let's talk about his kindness. There is a word that's actually used for the Lord's kindness. You know, it's also used only concerning the Lord. It's called loving kindness. You find that word used a few times, but only in association with the Lord. But it's a promise that he gives to us. In natural terms, you know, I mean, what is kindness? I mean, how do we show kindness? We can lend a helping hand. We can be compassionate. We can have empathy. We can care. We can go out of our way to do something for somebody. And there's many ways, you know, by which we show kindness. Well, the Lord, when he talks about kindness, it actually encompasses everything in our lives that we may need, you know, from, you know, the forgiveness of our sins, you know, to full redemption. His kindness is with us. There are stories that the Bible told, Jesus told in the Bible, of the Lord's kindness. In Matthew chapter 18, we see and learn of the story of the servant who owed his master 10,000 talents that he couldn't pay. And he came and begged. And inasmuch as he begged, his master promptly had kindness upon him, showed him mercy. Well, that's kindness. You know, it's the quality of being friendly. The dictionary says being generous, being considerate, and so forth. Well, I call it, you know, the quality of caring, forgiving, showing mercy, lending a helping hand, being compassionate, showing empathy, and helping. You know, and all those things. That's all kindness. And the Lord, because of his kindness to us, you know, his mercy reaches out to us from time to time. Now we see also that he has talked about his covenant of peace. I mean, what does peace really mean? It is the absence of trouble, sometimes people think. Yeah, but the kind of peace that God gives is not only just because there is no trouble or there is no war. It is actually in spite of trouble and in spite of war and in spite of challenges. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 tells us, be anxious or careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you know, let our requests be made known unto God. And he turned around in the next verse and says, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, it passes understanding because, you know, people can't figure out how in the world you can have peace and rest and quietness in the midst of all that's going on. We see that Jesus, in the midst of the storm and the raging wind tossing the boat up and down, he had peace. He had quietness. He was in the back of the boat, put his head on a pillow and was sleeping. Whereas the others were in a frantic, panicking mode, he had peace through the storm. The peace of God that God has offered us will keep us at peace through the storm. Well, but most importantly, the scriptures say, here is the way that you can have this peace. Well, first of all, you know that he has promised it. The peace that he said he gives is nothing like we can find in the world. But then again, he says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So when we have our minds stayed on the Lord rather than on the storm or on the tempest, it will keep you in perfect peace. The difference also that we see with Jesus and the disciples is that Jesus used to get up early in the morning and pray. And, you know, perhaps he'd already prayed about all the storms that will be happening that day and etc. You know, and then he's assured that, you know, he had confidence that he will go through. And he spoke it too. He said, let us go to the other side, pass over to the other side. He had confidence that he will make it. And the word of God would sustain itself. Now, of course, on the other hand, the disciples, well, when they should have been praying, when they should have been fasting, they were always eating. And Jesus even defending them, and they were happy. Well, when the hour came for a confrontation in the eye of the storm, they were panicking. And they lost their cool. And of course, Jesus demonstrated that even with storms all around you, you know, you can still have peace. It's not every storm, you know, that we need to engage physically and praying about and panicking and running all over the place. If we have prayed through in the first place, we have confidence in his promise of his peace with us, you know, then you know that the storm will pass. This storm also will pass, just like every other storm. And Jesus wasn't going to expend any spiritual capital on that storm. He was just going to sleep through it, because the word that he spoke was, let us pass over to the other side. You can read that story in Mark chapter 4. And we see that that word will sustain itself. The Lord promised us that we will have peace, even though there will be tribulation all around us. He promised us, and it's like a covenant of peace that we will have. And why do we need peace? And why would God give these kinds of assurances? Well, because there will be things that might try to cause our minds to be shaken. Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, John 16 and 33, that in me ye might have peace. And you know, that's how you have peace. It's in the Lord. You know, people will try to get peace outside of the Lord. Well, maybe they'll have it, maybe they won't. You know, the true peace only comes in Christ. He said, in me you will have peace. And they don't call him the Prince of Peace for nothing. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 calls him the Prince of Peace. He's the one that assures that peace in our lives. There's a way that he does it too. He said, in me, you might have peace. And God will go to any lengths. You know, that's why it's called covenant. He won't break it. He said, you know, the Lord said in Psalm 89, you know, he's not a man. He will not lie. He will not break the thing or alter the thing that's gone out of his mouth. You know, and he says, you know, right here to us in the book of, you know, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16, the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. Now that's a covenant keeping God. You know, whatever it takes, he will give you that peace. But we must rely upon the ability of the Lord to give us that peace. And even in things that we are seeking the Lord about, he will give you peace as well. When the answer comes, may it be an answer of peace. Then you will know that it is from the Lord. No matter what it is, God will give you peace around it. God will always extend his covenant of peace towards us, no matter what we're going through. But here's another way to look at it. There's another way to look at Philippians 4 and verse 7. When you are praying, which verse 6 tells us, put all your prayers and supplications along with thanksgiving, commit them unto the Lord. And then when he follows up by saying, you know, and the peace of God will keep your hearts. That peace passes understanding. Well, it means, he didn't quite say, and the Lord will answer every prayer. But he said, the peace of God will keep your hearts. You know, so whatever the situation, whatever the answer, the peace of God will keep your hearts. And it also means that, you know, God actually wants us to take control and have the power within us, you know, to override certain things like the storm. Just ride through the storm. Don't worry about it. You know, and it's not every little thing that we have to run to the Lord to do that he's empowered us to do some things on our own. In fact, Jesus was disappointed at the disciples when they came and woke him up. "Master, master," they said, "do you not care that we're going to perish? Storms all about us. Water is coming into the boat. We're being tossed up and down. You're sleeping." You know, isn't that like us today? We're going through, we think God doesn't care. Well, that's because he knows you can handle it. You know, Jesus had actually more confidence in the disciples that they, you know, can handle the situation than they had in him. That's why he went to sleep. He wasn't bothered about it. Just went to sleep. And when he got up and they woke him up, he said, "Why is it that ye are so fearful? How come it is you have no faith?" You know, so that element that Jesus, or those two elements that Jesus brought out in that prayer, I mean, in that, not prayer, in that challenge to his disciples, we see that those two elements show us what's missing when you don't demonstrate peace. You know, fear is there. And unbelief is there. You know, but when you have confidence in the Lord, and when you have faith, it will actually produce peace. Confidence that you have in the Lord, said, this is the confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, we know he's hearing us. And because he's hearing us, we know we shall receive the petitions we desired of him. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. When we have the confidence that the Lord has heard our prayers, even ahead of time, you know, it's not when we have trouble that we should be scrambling. But if you scramble in the time of trouble, God will still hear you. That's fine too, because the scripture says that God is a very present help, even in trouble. You know, if the first time you reach out to him is when you are in trouble, well, his mercy will still help you. But if you practice knowing the Lord and spending time in prayer, you won't have to scramble in the time of trouble. But nonetheless, Psalm 46 tells us God is our refuge and strength, verse 1, our very present help in trouble. Therefore, will we not fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Remember, the mountains shall depart, the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you. The waters may roar and be troubled, the mountains may shake with the swelling thereof, but his kindness will be with you, and his covenant of peace will be with you. You know, we need to have that level of confidence, even in the midst of all kinds of problems around us. Sometimes it comes by way of, you know, sudden sickness and illnesses. Sometimes it even comes by way of, you know, bad news, you know. But how do you deal with bad news too? Well, the righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings or even bad news. Psalm 112 and verse 7. Why? Because his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. Now, the person whose heart is not established will be afraid. Just like the disciples, they were afraid. And Jesus got up, he rebuked the storm, but first he rebuked the disciples. Then why is it that you are so fearful? How come it is that you have no faith? So he actually rebuked them. You know, left to Jesus, he was just going to sleep through the storm. He had no intentions of rebuking the storm. Just slip through it. Of course, he knew the storm was coming, but it didn't bother him at all, because he already said, we're going to the other side. And so if the disciples would have paid attention to the world and known that the world would sustain itself, they would have known that Jesus said, let's pass on to the other side. He didn't say, let's go into the middle of the sea and be destroyed. But he showed us also a valuable point in that, you know, you can trust the Lord through the storm. That's right. As long as Christ is with you in the boat, that boat cannot sink. Trust him through the storm, you know, and through the tempest and through everything. And don't panic, but be calm, knowing that he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isaiah 43:2 even says, when you're passing through, whether it's fire, whether it's storm, whether it's rivers, whether it's tempest, whether it's overswelling of anything, he said, look, those things will not subdue you. Hallelujah. You know, you come out on the other side. Praise God. So whatever it is we are passing through, know two things. My kindness. Well, God's kindness also dictates that he will not allow anything to come upon you beyond your strength. That would not be kind. If God knows that you can't handle, and yet he puts that thing upon you, that would be wickedness. That would not be kindness. So if God allows it, then he knows that you can handle. But most times we think we cannot handle. We look at our weaknesses and say, well, I can't handle that. Well, but the Lord knew you can. That's why he allowed it. Otherwise, you know, we couldn't say that he was kind if he would let things beyond our strength come upon us. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There be no temptation or trial or suffering or whatever that you are going through that taking you, but such as is common to man. In other words, you know, you're not the only one. It's happened to others and it's happening to them right now somewhere, and it may happen later on. No matter what you're going through, somebody else has experienced it or is experiencing it or will experience it. But God is faithful and he will not suffer you to be tempted or tried or put through more than you are able. But with the temptation, the trial, the troubles, the struggles or whatever, he will also make a way of escape. That's his kindness. You know, he's kind like that. You know, so if God allows you to go through stuff, remember, he knows you can handle it. But sometimes the devil tries to take advantage and try to magnify the issue. You know, I mean, you're going through a little stuff, the devil get in there as well, you know, try to make it even worse. Or sometimes it's even the devil that breaks it. Sometimes it's our own carelessness or foolishness. Sometimes it's a direct test from the Lord. Whatever it is, the Lord knows what is going on. He knows the condition too. We see this story in John chapter 5. The man who was coming to the pool waiting for the stirring of the water by the angel. The Bible says when Jesus saw him lie down like that and knew that he had been long time in that condition, then he said to him, would thou be made whole? So the Lord knows what you are going through. And with every trial, he says, he will also make a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. Now that's his kindness. Praise the Lord. And look, even his kindness will bring grace upon us. You know, sometimes when we are even unbelieving, when we dilly-dally, when we are double-minded. The scripture already told us that if you are like that, you will not get anything from the Lord. But yet, sometimes his kindness will overrule. His mercy will overrule. You know, there is not a person in this room today that will say that everything they've gotten from the Lord was because they are strong and they always believed. Sometimes mercy goes beyond your faith and his kindness just goes beyond everything. says, saith the Lord that had mercy on you. My kindness will not depart. My covenant of peace will not be removed. You know, I have been blessed and known to trust the Lord with faith. But sometimes, you know, it's just the mercy of the Lord. I mean, I can believe God for anything and everything, but when I'm believing and it's not working, sometimes I just have to rely on His mercy. That one never fails. His kindness never fails, and His mercy never fails. You know, and you know, sometimes your faith may fail you, you know, and so forth, but His mercy and His kindness will never fail you. I want to everyone to rely and lean upon His mercy. Lean upon His kindness. You know, and it's a covenant that He has made, and He will not break it. Hallelujah. He will, you know, see to it. Hallelujah. He will always see to it, because whatever He says, He is able to back it up. And God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man to repent or something because He couldn't go through with it. You know, sometimes we have the best of intentions, but we can't always go through because we have limited capacity. But God, because He is omniscient, He can do anything, He has the capacity, He doesn't need to, you know, recant anything. You know, He can go through with it. And no, moreover, He sees the end from the beginning. So, you know, He doesn't need to say something that He cannot back up, because He's already seen the end, you know. And remember what He said to us, that my covenant will I not break. Psalm 89 and verse 34. This is covenant of peace. He said, I will not break it, neither will I alter the thing that is gone out from my mouth. There are many covenants that we see that God made and entered into in the Bible. Sometimes He just did it by Himself. He wasn't really, didn't need anybody to do anything other than just believe. You know, covenant usually, you know, takes two parties. But when the Lord says, by myself, I have sworn, and then He puts out a covenant, you know, that means, you know, whether you do anything or not, He's going to do it. All He needs is for you to believe and enter in by faith, because He can carry both sides. Usually a covenant requires, you know, two people. Carry your part, the other one carries his part, and so forth. But God, when He makes a covenant, He can actually carry both parts, you know, because He can do it. He said, by myself, you know, I've sworn, and I will do this thing. You know, and, you know, He said, look, I'm the Lord that made the heavens and stretched out the earth by myself. You know, I didn't need any help then, and I don't need any help now. All I need is that you sanctify me in your heart and believe the word that I speak unto you. Psalm 89, let's read from verse 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my mouth. Hallelujah. So when the Lord says to you, my kindness, you know, shall not depart from you, nor my covenant of peace be removed, you can rest assured that He will not break that. He will bring it to pass. Now, there are some things that may befall us from day to day. God wants you to take charge and handle. You know, like the disciples should have taken charge and handled the storm, or not even panic. You know, and because the Lord spoke the word, what will get you across to the other side was not necessarily the absence of a storm. That'll be good if there is no storm. But even if the storm came, you will still get to the other side because he already declared it. It was not necessarily the mastery of the shipmaster knowing how to steer the ship through the storm. That's not necessarily what's going to get you to the other side. That's good. That's useful. But what's going to get you there is his word that is going to sustain itself. The word of God has the power and the ability within itself to sustain itself. That's why he says, well, the thing that's gone out of my mouth, which is my word, I'm not going to alter it and I'm not going to break it. The only thing that will break that thing is, you know, our unbelief. Unbelief is what we saw in Numbers chapter 14 that caused a breach of promise because the Lord wanted to give it to them. And he did give it to them. But, you know, they went out, searched the land, even came back with the fruit of it. But yet, you know, they allowed various distractions that they saw, you know, to put fear in their heart. Well, we saw the Anakims there and the children, the giants and so forth. Even though the land is bringing forth good fruit, and here is some of it, we can't get there, but they got there. We can't get there because the giants are on the way and they're not going to let us get through. But you got through and you brought the fruit of the land. And, you know, in their unbelief, they contradicted themselves. I call it contradictions against the word of promise. The word of promise is, you know, I have sworn to Abraham and to his seed forever. This land will I give you beyond the Jordan from here to there, Euphrates and all. I'm going to give it to you. You know, and the Lord gave it to them. You must go in and possess it though. He gave it to you, but you got to go in. But as you go, the Lord said, I will drive out these things, these people before you. All these seven nations, all these Hittites, Jebusites, Perizzites, you know, Canaanites and so forth. I will drive them out from before you, but you must go in and possess the land. But they said, well, we can't do it because there's too much trouble along the way. Did not the Lord know that there were giants along the way? Did he not know that there were, you know, all these troubles that you will see along the way? But yet he said, go forward and I will give it to you. So fear, once the fear gets in there, people forget the covenant of the Lord. They soon forgot that the Lord promised it and swore by himself to give it to them. So gave it that promise to Abraham, repeated the promise to Isaac, repeated it again to Jacob. And it's a sure thing, but they forgot. You know, so let us not forget. You know, what kindness has the Lord shown to you in the past? Can you recall all the times that you went to the Lord in prayer and how the Lord came through for you? Well, yeah, those are demonstrations of his kindness. You know, his kindness is wooing you unto his love and, you know, teaching us that you should always trust in him. No matter how many times we go to the Lord, he is not weary of, you know, giving us the desires of our heart. In fact, Jesus told his disciples, because at that time they did not really know how to pray in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus was with them. So they thought, well, we didn't really need to pray about anything. So Jesus told them, look, hitherto you have asked nothing, but ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now we have been asking and we are receiving. But keep on believing if your joy is not yet full, because his kindness will not, you know, depart from you. And the covenant of his peace will not be removed. What he has promised, he will do. And then some. Because we are told that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or even think. He's able to do it. And when we say exceeding, when we say abundantly, well, you know, if God is able to do exceeding, number one, he can exceed it. And then number two, you know, it's abundantly. So it cannot, I mean, the number 11 exceeds number 10, but not abundantly. Just exceeds it by one. The number 12 exceeds 10 by two. That's not entirely abundantly, but it does exceed it. When you think of a number that exceeds 10, but abundantly exceeds 10, then you begin to think in hundreds and thousands. When you think of 1,000, then that exceeds 10, but it exceeds it abundantly as well. It's not just by one. It's not just by two, you know. And God is able to do all of that and also even beyond what we can ask or what we can think. Why? Because of his kindness and because of his goodness towards us. You know, there is no other reason, but he already promised us to do that. Praise the Lord. You know, so in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3 and verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above. First, it's exceedingly, it's exceeding, and then it's abundantly, and then it's above all that we can ask or even think. You know, so it means that if you can think it, God can do it. And you know, the power of thought is so great. You can think a lot of things. Well, if you can think it, he can exceed it. Isn't that powerful? To think that the power of imagination, the power of thought that God has given us, you can even exceed that. God can exceed that. But it's according to the power that works in us. God can do only so much, but you're limited by your faith horizon. Yeah, how much you believe? If you can believe God for only $100, well, maybe he'll give you 120. He has exceeded it, you know. But if you can believe for 500, maybe he'll give you, you know, 625, you know, and so on. You know, just think about it. You know, he can exceed whatever you can believe for, whatever you can even think. There is no end to his supply. I've often said it. Think of the sea of God's, somebody, you know, there's a song that says, the sea of God's forgetfulness cast all our sins and so forth. Well, think of the sea of God's kindness, because that's the subject for today. Come unto that sea. Bring your vessels, not a few. You can bring a bucket, take some kindness, and walk away. Come back for some more with another bucket. Or you can bring a bigger size barrel rather than a bucket and take your fill of his kindness and walk away. Come back for some more. And the sea is still there. Praise the Lord. You can even bring a tanker. You know, you don't have to bring a bucket. You don't have to bring just a barrel. You can bring a water tanker of sorts, an 18-wheeler or whatever. Load it all up. And, well, you know, there's still more where that came from. So his kindness is, will never depart from us. Now, when we are going through, what is it that you may be going through today? It could be challenges in the area of finance, family, illness, wellness, your job, your business. All kinds of things. There's a lot of things that we may go through from time to time. But think of his kindness, that it will be with you and I will never depart from you. Hallelujah. He'll be right there with you. And if we can understand that, then we empower ourselves with greater power to walk in you. according to the power that's working in you. You see the ability of God to stand behind his promise. Kindness, whatever. The reason we get something from the Lord is not always because we deserve it. And it's not always because we have faith. We must have faith. But sometimes it's, you know, just his kindness. You know, sometimes you're struggling to believe and you can't believe well enough. You know, Mark 9, 23 and 24, Jesus said to the man, if you can only believe, you know, all things are possible to him that believe. And the man is struggling to believe. And he says in verse 24, he said, Lord, I believe, but I'm struggling. So help thou my unbelief. And he was struggling. He's trying to believe. And the Lord knows that he's trying. And the Lord's going to help him. You know, so we must believe. But even when our strength falls short, you know, I mean, it's good to be strong in the Lord and the power of his mind. You don't need to be feeble. I teach that all the time. There's no need for you to be feeble and let devil bounce you up and down like ping pong. Be strong in the Lord, the power of his mind. Resist the devil. God giving all these commands. You know, but even sometimes, you know, when you feel, you know, weary and faint, and so forth like that. Well, the Lord says, well, my grace is sufficient for you. And my strength is made perfect even when you are weak. Even in your weakness, you can turn to the Lord. He will always be there. The good thing is, the Lord is always the same. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He is not weary. You know, praise the Lord. And there is no searching of his understanding. Let's read the way that Isaiah says it to give us some comfort to know that, look, you're never going to catch God off guard. You know, like, oh, well, he fell asleep and so forth. Just like Elijah was mocking the other people. Well, he said, maybe your God fell asleep, maybe this and that. You know, why don't you call a little more and so on? You know, that's not the case with the Lord. The Lord, you know, let's read it in Isaiah, you know, chapter 40. Have you not known, he said in verse 21, and have you not heard? Has he not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood these things? And you begin to ask them, don't you know that the Lord, you jump down here, you know, to verse 28, he said, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? And the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not get weary. He doesn't faint, neither is he weary. And you know, Israel said, well, you know, my way is hid from the Lord. My judgment is passed over from my God. You know, God has forgotten me, they thought. And the Lord answered back and said, no, the Lord will not forget you. Can a woman forget her suckling child and so forth like that? You know, whom she raised and bore in her womb 9 months and gave him suck many years. Can she forget? No. But the Lord said, well, even if she forgets, I still will not forget you. The Lord will never be tired. He fainteth not and is not weary. Doesn't get tired. So you can always come back to him, you know, and he doesn't go asleep, you know, sleeping somewhere. You know, so that, you know, when you call, he won't hear you. He's always there. He has the capacity. And that's a great thing about the Lord. He has the capacity to hear you when you call. Not just you. Millions of people may be calling upon the Lord at the same time. And yet, he has the capacity to hear each voice as if it was the only voice. Hallelujah. The Lord is so good like that. You know, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Psalm 121 verse 4. The Lord is thy keeper. Hallelujah. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Isn't that wonderful? That's an assurance. He will never fail you. His eyes are upon the sparrow, and he watches over you. How much more you? Jesus said, ye of little faith, your father watches over his sparrow. I mean, say, are not two sparrows for, sold for, a farthing, and two for two farthings, or this and that? It's kind of like buy two, get one free. Jesus is saying, are not the lilies of the field, they are arrayed in beauty. They don't toil, they don't spin. Even Solomon was not arrayed like one of them, the Lord said. These sparrows, God sees them. None of them will fall to the ground without him. So how much more will he take care of you who are made in his image? O ye of little faith, he said. So the Lord is always looking for faith. Faith in his kindness, not faith in your faith. When I was a young man, I had tremendous faith in my faith, because I thought, all I had to do was just believe anything, and it was working for me. God, I'm sure God was amused, he let it be, and it was working, and it worked. And later on, as I grew older, I still had that faith, but I began to realize it wasn't just faith in my faith. It was faith in his kindness, faith in his word, especially. And that he will back that word up. Praise God. And even sometimes, when my faith gets to its limit, his mercy still kicks in. Hallelujah. His kindness and his mercy, even when your faith stops or gets to its limit. Well, faith should never stop. But when we are limited, the Lord will hear you by his mercy. Can you guys still hear me? Everybody still hear me? Praise the Lord.
Loud and clear, sir.
Right. So the Lord, he will always stand by his word. Today, I want us to consider his kindness and consider his covenant of his peace. He said it with his own mouth, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give it, but in me you shall have peace. You cannot have peace in the world. In the world you have tribulation, but in me you have peace. And my peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, but I give to you. Did you remember that Christ paid for the peace? When we think of Isaiah chapter 53, and we think of what he said in verse 5, most of the time we leave out the peace portion. Most of the time. We talk of, what the Lord, said he would do, that Isaiah said, but we only think of a few things. He was bruised, for our iniquities, wounded for our transgressions, and so forth. We think of that, but we forget that he was beaten badly because of our peace. We think of him taking the beating for our healing, but we don't think that he was beaten for our peace. So let's read it again from verse 4 of Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he wasn't stricken for his own, problems. He was wounded for our transgressions. We know about that. He was bruised for our iniquities. We know about that. And with his stripes, we are healed. We know about that. But we forget that the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. Many times we forget that. All that beating and chastisement and so forth, first it was our peace. The stripes and the scars that remained on his body was for our healing, but the beating itself was for our peace. He took it all. So don't you ever forget it. He paid for the peace just the same way he paid for our healing. And if you believe that by his stripes you are healed, well, you need to start quoting that by his chastisement you have peace. Hallelujah. Peace. When all hell is breaking loose around you. Peace when it seems like your heart should be shaking and troubled. Jesus would say, fear not. And even God in the Old Testament, he used to talk to them, he would say, fear not, I will help thee. You know, and he will always say, fear not. You know, before people get too far into fear, the Lord will always say, fear not. Fear not. Why? Well, because there's always the element of fear that can creep in. And fear has torment like that. You know, so that's why Jesus, in the scriptures, he would always say, fear not. You know, he would see, you know, somebody's daughter is dead and so forth. They are crying. He doesn't say, fear not. You know, and he would see something going on. He would say, fear not. You know, Isaiah 41 and 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, Isaiah knew this promise. So he strengthened himself and he come back. He heard the Lord say this to him, you know, and he prophesied it to the household of Israel. And then so he come back in Isaiah 50 and 10. And he said, 50 and 7. And he said, look, I know he has said he will help me, you know, so I'm going to strengthen myself. You know, I'm going to encourage myself. I am going to keep my eyes from distractions. I know that I will not be ashamed. That's been our memory verse for a long time in this room, Isaiah 50 and 7. You know, so because the Lord told him that the Lord will help. And he encouraged himself. What the Lord says to you today, my kindness will not depart from you. Though the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, my kindness will never depart from you. You can always lean on that kindness. Kindness in areas where you don't even deserve it. But the Lord will show you kindness. Praise God. The Lord will show you kindness. And we've seen, you know, people that showed kindness, you know, in the Bible. The story of the Good Samaritan, for instance, how he showed kindness. You know, I got off his horse and saw the one, you know, you can read that story in Luke chapter 10, that was wounded and left half dead. He showed him kindness. You know, there are many acts of kindness like that in the Bible. People that will give water to a thirsty soul. You know, people that will, you know, give clothing to someone that's naked. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 25. He said, while I was among you, you did not show me kindness. Well, you know, because when I was in prison, you didn't care. When I was sick, you didn't care. When I was naked, you didn't care. When I was hungry, you didn't care. You did not show me kindness. And they said, oh, Lord, that's not possible. When was it that we saw you in any of these destitute states and did not show you kindness? Well, Jesus said, well, you have a lot of people around you that were destitute. And as much as you didn't do it to them, you didn't do it to me. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's kindness. When you lend a helping hand, when you give to the poor, you know, when you show kindness to the poor, it's like you're lending to the Lord. When you visit the suffering, the homeless, or you take care of them, visit the, you know, those who are homebound or in prison or this and that, you know, whatever you do to make someone's life a little better, that's kindness. And Jesus said that kindness will be rewarded. To some others, he said, ah, well done, because, you know, every time you saw me destitute, you showed me kindness. And you did this and you did that and you did the other. And the same the people were just likewise, you know, surprised. We never saw you. You know, you were way gone before our time. 2,000 years before we came. I mean, you know, you already been there and gone. And Jesus said, well, Inasmuch as you did it to these, he pointed to some of his, you know, children. Well, you did it to me. See that one that you did? Thou, that one you did? This one that you did? It was all to me. You showed me kindness. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I love the story of, let me close with this, the story of David in 2 Samuel chapter 9. You know, how he said, look, you know, after the Lord had finally given him rest, you know, Saul's gone, no longer chasing him down and everything. He's now finally, you know, the king and so on. He now says, look, you know, who is left of the household of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1. Let's see the element of kindness that David showed here. You know, you remember how Jonathan put his own life at stake in order to save David's life from his wicked father who was always trying to kill David? When Jonathan spoke up on behalf of David and told Saul that, look, this boy has done nothing for you. What do you want to kill him for? Saul threw even a javelin at Jonathan as well. And so he put his life in danger. And he gave David signs of how to escape and different things. He let David, you know, get away from coming into the table because his father was determined evil against him. And he just did all kinds of things to save his life. And David remembered. And he said, well, who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And they found this man, you know, called Mephibosheth. You know, when someone had killed all the sons of Saul and so forth, you know, his nurse carried him, saved him, or tried to save him. He fell, broke his legs, and he became lame from that point on. And he was in hiding all his life. And they found him. They brought him to David. And the man was terrified because he knew what Saul did to David. You know, and so he thought, well, surely, you know, the evil of my father's father has found me out. This man will kill me today for all the things that Saul did unto him. David said, fear not. That's right. Fear not. You know, I'm not going to do evil to you at all. But I will show you kindness because of what, you know, Jonathan, your father, did unto me. And he promoted the man. You know, took him out of the dunghill in hiding and everything. And he said, from this day forth, you will sit at my table and eat with the princes, the sons of the king. Moreover, he told the servant of Saul, Ziba, and the rest of them, all of you report to this man from now on. Everything that was Saul's becomes this man now. What he says from now on, you do. Now, that's kindness. The man thought he was undeserving. In fact, he thought he was deserving of death. But David said, I'll show him kindness. You know, consider that also in the ways of the Lord. The kindnesses that the Lord will show to us, despite of our, you know, of being rebellious and so forth many times, yet in his kindness, the Holy Spirit is still there to guide us. The Lord's still there to answer our prayers. The Lord's still there to heal us many times. Sometimes we even bring some things upon ourselves through lack of wisdom and so on. Yet, his kindness will be with us. And his covenant of peace. I will grant you peace, he said, by all means. I'm going to pray over everyone that's in the room. There may be troublous times that we are in. You may be experiencing troubled waters, bitter waters, illness, sickness, disease and stress and all kinds of things. Let your mind be stayed on the Lord that he may bring you into that place of perfect peace. You know, and if you walk in the truth and walk in righteousness, the Lord also promises, you know, that he will grant you peace and rest. You know, the effect of righteousness shall be peace. Hallelujah. And the work of, righteousness shall be tranquility. Isaiah 32 and verse 17. If you walk in righteousness, you will have peace. You know, and you have quietness and assurance forever. Praise the Lord. I pray the God of peace himself will grant you peace by all means. I pray that the fruits of righteousness in your life will bring you peace. The effect of righteousness in your life, according to Isaiah 32 and 17, will bring you quietness and assurance forever in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I want to pray over everyone that may be experiencing some illness in their body, a coughing, cold, sneezing, you know, the congestion, spasms, and all. Unto them that fear my name, saith the Lord, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, Lord, may we touch again the hem of his garment, the hem of your garment, like this woman did. I have touched, she said, if I can only touch, I know I will be healed. And as soon as she was touched that hem of his garment, the Bible says the blood stanched. The issue of blood stopped. Father, let your people touch, experience a touch, contact with you even today. In the name of Jesus Christ, may we make that daily contact every day. You know, the fountain of health, receive from you in Jesus' name. Peace into our bodies, health into our bodies, peace into our minds, in the name of Jesus. Let our minds be stayed on you, that we may experience perfect peace. And even peace over our children. You know, sometimes the enemy will trouble that area of our lives. Sometimes the enemy will put his hand and try to trouble your relationships, marriages, and different things. Well, the Lord said, I will give you peace. Praise God. Let's invite the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Peace, back into our lives. Don't try to go it all alone. Go solo. You can't do it. Never try to go solo. The Lord must be with you. You can't do anything. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. You know, so let's not try to go solo. Always lean upon the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 will tell you in verse 5, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Don't think that you have all the answers. You know, when you fear the Lord, depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. The Lord bless everyone that's on here this morning. Just a word of encouragement to us. Lift up your head, O ye gates. No matter what you're going through, remember his kindness will never depart from you. Covenant of his peace shall never be removed. He has promised it that by all means he will give you peace. And he has already paid for it. He was chastised for your peace. And so we claim, we stand in that, we enforce that. We claim it today and every day. Peace in our lives, peace in our marriages, peace in our relationships, peace in your businesses, peace over your families, peace with your children, peace among your friends, peace and everywhere, peace and peace and peace. In me, you shall have peace, saith the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the goodness. I mean, all the glory for your goodness. When the enemy tries to lie to us that the Lord has forsaken us and say, we are, you know, the Lord is sleeping. He doesn't care that you drown. Remember, my covenant of peace is with you. My kindness shall not be removed. The mountains may depart. The hills may be removed, but not my kindness and my covenant of peace. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.